Brother Terry was praying, and I thank the Lord for that sweet prayer. I thought of a little sister that texted me very late last night, Sister Linda Rankin, and failed to mention her, but the Lord knows everyone and all their needs. Sister Linda told me that she had been getting treatment, chemotherapy for her cancer, and that the treatment had worked and that it had shrunk the cancer a great deal, which she was very thankful for. She's got another round coming of the chemotherapy, and just pray that everything continues to go well with her and that things will work out as they work to help her as she battles cancer. Also, Sister Gail Weston, she told me that Sister Gail has a disease of the lungs that is, it's not a good diagnosis, and she is slowly losing her ability to breathe and battling with all of that. And it doesn't appear there's a whole lot the doctors can do, but we're looking to the great physician to supply. It sounds like her lungs are just deteriorating, and it's getting harder and harder for her to breathe. And, you know, I can't imagine how difficult that is, but we know the Lord is able to provide. So I want to be praying for all of our brothers and sisters. And so often we go to mentioning everyone, and then in the middle of the prayer, there will be a thought about someone that we failed to mention. We apologize whenever we do that, but we know the Lord doesn't do that. Isn't that good to know the Lord doesn't do that? The Lord knows the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And that doesn't mean He just knows them in the sense of knowing them, who they are. He knows all about us. He knows there's nothing that in our lives that is hid from the Lord, and our lives are naked and open with Him, before Him, with whom we have to do. And I'm so thankful that we have that kind of God. And I do appreciate that sweet prayer, Brother Terry. Thank the Lord for you, and thank the Lord for the blessings that He gave you in speaking those words. I really enjoyed the song service this morning. Not that I don't always enjoy, but it seemed like the hymns really spoke to what I was feeling in my heart this morning. My great need today is to feel His presence. I need to feel Him. I know that when we gather like this, it's always a good thing to see the brethren. It's good to see you. It's good to be here in the fellowship of one another. But I hope we're not at times, and I know I am at times, becoming lukewarm and forgetting that I need to beg that the Lord would manifest His presence. That as I'm in the pulpit, that I can feel He's right here with me and supplying what I need. And I know He is. Amen, brother. He is. But that I can see Him, and that I can know that, and that I acknowledge that I speak that He's with me. But that is so clear and so apparent that I can't ignore Him. You know, that's what I don't want to do today. I just want to acknowledge Him. And I also pray that He's with you right there on the seat where you're sitting, and you feel His love, and you feel His watch care, and you feel the safety and the security that comes in knowing you're in the hands of the mighty God who flung the stars out into space and holds them in their proper place. And that's a God that's beyond my comprehension. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. We can't begin to talk about how mighty and how powerful our God is. All power, Jesus said, is given to me in heaven and in earth. Brother Junior often says, if He has all the power, what does that mean I've got? And the answer is, without Him, you have none. And that's where I am this morning as I come before you. I don't have the ability to do what the Lord's given me and called on me to do outside of Him supplying that ability. And what's true of the preacher is true of the little brother or sister that's in the pew or walking in life. You need the Lord today. And you and I all need Him. And we don't need Him just in a way, well, when I get in a little trouble, then I call on Him and He'll come and And yes, he will. And that's true in itself. But I need him as I journey through life every step of the way. Every hour. What is the hymn writer said? Every day, every hour. Oh Lord, I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. And I hope for this little time we can spend together. And this really is the time we have right now, right? Can't do. It's just like I said about yesterday and tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. You can't undo all of that. I wish sometimes and think if I could just go back and undo all that. The only problem is I'd go back and probably make things worse. You know, that's what would happen with me. I'm thankful for the watch care of the Lord in days past. Now, tomorrow's not here yet, so there's no need me sitting here missing today, worrying about tomorrow, worrying about what's coming next week. Y'all ever done that? Miss the moment, miss the time that you have with the Lord, the time of fellowship that you could have with the Lord, the time of joy that you could have and that you should be having because you're so worried about what's coming in the future that you fail to recognize the blessings of the moment that the Lord has given us. And the Lord could return before we leave this building today. We know He's coming. We know He's promised that He's going to come. We know we should be looking for Him. We know we should be expecting His return. We know that we don't know the hour or the day or the moment, but we know that it could be at any time, and we should be looking as if it could be today. And if we're living for the moment, then when the Lord comes, we'll be right in it. We'll be right in the moment. And the good news is, though we don't do all those things, that doesn't change that He did everything. And as we sang that hymn, He did them all well. He did everything well. It wasn't anything He left undone. Our salvation, isn't it good to know, is in Him, not in us. Our safety is in Him, not in us. Our welfare is in Him, not in us. We have the Lord to look to. In all of the storms and the battles of life. And I pray that He'll just be with us for a little while this morning. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, the writings of the Apostle Peter. Peter here identifies himself as a servant and an apostle. If Peter was the first pope, this would have sure been a good place for him to tell us that in the Bible. You know, you won't find that in the Bible. You won't find where Peter says, I'm the first pope. You know why? Because Peter's not the first pope. As a matter of fact, Peter's not, the church is not founded upon Peter. The church is founded upon the sure rock, the rock that cannot fail, the rock that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, in other words, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But Peter was a blessed character, and we are blessed to have the writings of the Apostle Peter. Not because Peter was all that, but because Peter's Savior was all that. Peter's Savior is the one that we look to as our Savior. Peter was an apostle. He was an apostle like the other apostles. Peter was an apostle. He was not more than the other apostles. He was not less than the other apostles. He was an apostle, and he also points out here that I'm an apostle, but I'm also a servant. And that's one of the greatest things that a little brother or sister can feel to be. And I hope that's what you feel to be today. You want to know where a high place is? It's to be a slave, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no higher calling than to be one of His servants or one of His slaves. I think over in the Acts of the Apostles, it says in Acts 16, a strange verse for me, and I've been thinking about it, and I still don't have all the light that I would like to see. Of course, with any given verse or any given thing, that we learn in the Bible, when you learn it, there's still much more to learn. And when you get to know about it, there's still much more to know. That there was a little woman that had a spirit of divination, and she was a slave. And the Apostle Paul and Silas, and I believe in the same group was Timothy and Luke, And they were going along the way, and this little woman that had a spirit of divination, which is not a good thing. You know, some people say, well, I think if I want to know something about my life, so I'll go over here and see a fortune teller. Don't do that. I want to know something about my life, so I think I'll go over here and see if somebody can read my palm, or if somebody can take some cards and tell me something about the future. And you know, somebody said, well, we ought to know all about that. Listen, we're in a world where people are doing all kinds of things to try to find out about all kinds of things and spend a lot of money. And there are some people robbing a whole lot of people, telling you, if you'll just come over here, I can tell you all about what's coming in your life. And it seems spiritual because it is spiritual, but it's not the Spirit of God. There are false spirits in this world. There are false prophets in this world. There are false teachers in this world. We talked about that last night somewhat. We're to try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. But here we have a little sister, and I call her a sister because when the Apostle Paul was finished with her, the Spirit of the Lord, the power of God, had allowed him to know that she was possessed with a demon and had given him as an apostle, and the apostles had that gift, to speak and cast the devil, cast the demon, cast the spirit of divination. That tells us it didn't come from a good place. He cast it out of her. But what I was amazed at is what she was saying, even under the spirit of divination. Now, whether that came out of her, which it could have, you think the Lord can overwhelm a demon that's in a person and cause them to say something that's the truth? I know that he did in this case. Now, whether he calls the devil to say it, which by the way, one day the devils are going to praise him. They're not going to praise him in a worshipful way, but they're going to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. There's a day coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. In the end, the Lord wins. So don't get so overwhelmed when you start thinking it looks like the evil's winning. And good is losing, and right is down, going down, and evil is on the rise. Yes, he told us that these things would come, but he said, be of good cheer. In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this little woman, when she looked at Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke, when she looked at them, she was made to say, behold, there are, listen what she says, the verse 17 of Acts 16, it says, the same followed Paul and us, and the us is those other folks I mentioned, and cried saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Now, what did she say they were? He said they were servants. I hope and pray that there are folks that look at us as Old Baptists, look at us as we've gathered here today, and not say, you know, all there, all that, but to say that, just simply say, there's God's little servants. I hope someone can look at you, and I pray they can look at me and say from my actions and from my behavior, by what I'm doing, by the way I'm talking, by the way I'm living, not so much what comes out of my mouth, but what happens with my feet and my hands and my life, that I would walk in this world in such a way that someone would say, and be made in a sense to say, behold, thou art the servants of the Most High God. Now get this. What's good about that? We got the Most High God. Sounds like who, doesn't it? The one we've sung about, the one that we believe in, the one that we trust in. We don't trust in a little God who would like to help you if you'll let him. We don't trust in a little God who's trying to get you to heaven, but for the most part is being unsuccessful. We're trusting in the God who loved his people in covenant before the foundation of the world and had the power to save every one of them that he loved by sending his only begotten Son, who was verily God, made manifest in the flesh, and Jesus died so that one day we'd be with him in heaven and he won't lose one that he died for. That's what we believe. And that's what these men believed. And they believed it to the point and preached it to the point and lived it to the point that when they were walking along the street, a little woman possessed with a spirit of divination was made to cry out. And it could have been that little born-again spirit inside of her that said, I need him. And these men are showing, what did she say? It says, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us, which means show, the way of salvation. And you know that's what you hear when you come to the Lord's house. You hear about the way of salvation. Now somebody with an Arminian train of thought might think, well, that means you tell people how they get to heaven. And that you teach them and you preach to them so that they can make a choice and make the right choice so that they don't end up in hell and they get to go to heaven because of some action or behavior or something they would do on their part. No, they talked about the way of salvation. Not the chance, not the possibility, but the way of salvation. And the way of salvation is not us doing something in order to get into it. It's what the Father did in sending the Son. It's what the Son did in coming. It's what the Holy Spirit did in working in our hearts. It's the work of God from the beginning of it to the end of it. Salvation is not of man and God. Salvation is of the Lord. We believe that? It's not part of the way. It's not some of the way. And so what they were saying is that it's only in Jesus. Even when they wanted to give these men glory. Even when there were times that they would do things and they say, look what a mighty power in them. They must be gods. And they'd want to do that. They would say, oh, God forbid. We are what? We are simply servants. And when old Baptist preachers or old Baptist deacons or old Baptist brothers and sisters start feeling like we're something more than someone else and we start thinking we're anything else but servants, we've missed it. Yeah, that's my little one. That acorn didn't fall too far from the tree. He's been so good to me. He's allowed me to see and know that without Him I can do nothing. And when I get to feeling a little bit puffed up, He just knocks the stuffing out of me. He allows me to see through the circumstances of my life that, Lord, I need You. I need You to preach. I need You to be able to be what I'm supposed to be. I need Thee to live. I am a servant. I am a slave. I belong to Him. He bought me with a price, the price of His own precious blood. He loved me enough that not only am I know that we are also not just servants, we are also sons, we also are heirs and joint heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever He purchased for us and whatever He has in heaven is as much ours as it is His. But it's not because we did something to get that. The way of salvation is what He did for His children in sending Jesus. And Jesus did it all. He paid it all. He didn't pay part of it and leave it up for you and me to finish it up. Because if He had left it up to us, we'd have messed it up just like Adam messed up, just like Eve messed up, just like all of us. All of us are born in sin, we're shaping in iniquity, and without the Lord, we can do nothing. This little woman said, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. In other words, she didn't just say it once. She just followed them around everywhere. And it grieved the Apostle Paul. Now I thought, why would that grieve him? She's saying the truth. But he knew that she had a spirit of divination. It grieved him that she was under that power. It grieved him. He also knew that her testimony and alignment with him even was not, he knew it wasn't right. That's what he knew. And so by the Spirit of Almighty God, he had the power of an apostle. Now, Somebody said, well, do we have that kind of power today to do what the apostles did? And if we don't have that kind of power, why don't we have that kind of power? Can we explain that? Well, yes, the Bible explains that. There's a reason that they had this special, these extra ordinary gifts that the apostles only had, in that the Lord had deposited with them the truth, and the truth had to be confirmed with signs that followed. The Lord said He would do that, and one of the signs that would follow is that they had the power to cast out demons. And in the days of the apostles, they had that power because the Bible had not yet been written. And therefore, when they preached, they had to have those signs confirm that what they said was so. In other words, how do you know that what the Apostle Paul said was so? Because God confirmed him with signs, so that when a woman was possessed with a spirit of divination, he was able to say, listen to what he said. He said, I command thee. Now notice, he didn't say in my own name. He didn't say, I command thee in the name of Peter. He didn't say, I command thee in the name of the head apostle. He said, no, I command. Well, really, he did, the head apostle. And that apostle, you know who the head apostle is? In the name of who? In the name of Jesus, which means Savior. Christ, which means Messiah. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And guess what? The devil didn't say, well, I think I will, or I think I won't, or let me make a choice. No, the devil had to do whatever he said. And they know that. They'll act like they don't know it, but they know it. The devil's already been defeated, by the way. He's just waiting for his time to come. And remember what he said, don't come and torment me. The one in the Gadarene demon, the one who was possessed with the legion of demons, remember the words, what he said, have you come to torment me before the time? You know what he meant? He knew the time was coming. He just didn't want it to be now. He didn't want it to be now. Isn't it good to know? Why would we follow one who's already defeated? Why would we go to people? Why would the living go to the dead to get answers? Why would we go to anyone but the God of heaven? Listen, we serve the God of all power. We serve the answer to the question, who? He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who take that vain, wild man and turn him around and make him as a little child. He can soften the hardest heart. He can clean up the vilest mouth. He can purify the most unclean mind. And that's where all of us were. And that's the work of Almighty God. And who can do that? I'm telling you, the only one that can do that's the Lord. But He can do it. Not only can He do it, I believe I'm looking at those that He's done it for. I believe you belong to Him. I believe you're a servant of God, not because you chose to be. I believe you love Him because He first loved you. I believe you believe in Him because He gave you faith. I believe every good and perfect thing that you have in your life came down as from the One who sends each snowflake and designs each and every one in its own unique detail. That's a big God, isn't it? Somebody said that's just the law of physics. I'm telling you, the God of we serve made the law of physics. And when it comes time for Him to change it, it won't be a problem. Everything that goes up must come down. One day it won't. Isn't that good to know? One day we're going to fly away. We're not going to need wings to do it either. We're going to be meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody say, you believe that? Yes, absolutely I believe that. You know how I can believe it? Because He's given me faith that enables me to believe it. He's given me an understanding that only He could give me, and He's allowed me to see it. I believe it more than the benches we sit on or the pew that I'm standing behind right now. These things, a good magician might come in and fool me about that. I may sit down where there's no bench thinking it is there just by the magician's trick. But I'm telling you, faith doesn't fool you that way. And you and I, and you know these things too. If the Lord's in you, you know it too. You know that what I'm saying is the truth. Not just because I'm saying it. The Word of God confirms it. But He is in your heart allowing you to see that and to know that. These men shew unto us the way of salvation. You know what they preach? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know what old Baptists have been preaching since I've been among them? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know what we ought to continue to preach and need to continue to preach? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We need to tell God's children, the little children of God, many of them are in bondage, many of them are in captivity, and we need to tell them and declare to the top of our voice and with our lives and with our actions and with our behaviors, may the Lord bless us to walk in this world that someone would look at us and say, there goes a little servant of God. You know, not there goes a pope or there goes a humble little child of God. Simon Peter said he was a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And oh, Jesus means Savior and Christ means the Messiah. And he's writing to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Those that have obtained like precious faith with us. How did we obtain like precious faith? How is it that we have faith? What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't believe without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Today we come to the Lord. We're seeking Him. How can we come? And the Bible says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. The Bible says, whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can I believe without faith? Somebody said, if you'll just believe, then you can get life. And if you get life, if you'll just believe, then you can get life. But in reality, if the life doesn't precede the believing, how can you believe? You can't believe without life. You need life first in order to have faith. And faith is the gift of God. That's what he says in Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The question sometimes becomes, what is the gift of God? Is it the grace or is it the faith? The answer to that question is yes. It is both the grace and the faith. Because it's by grace that we're given life. He says that right here. He says, to those that have obtained like precious faith with us. In other words, I'm talking to those who I have something in common with. The Apostle Peter recognized he couldn't just preach to everybody, though he preached to everyone. He knew there would be some who would not hear it, not believe it, not receive it, and there would be others who would be unable to believe it and receive it and hear it. And it wasn't his preaching that made the difference. It was the work of God in them that made the difference, that made the preaching effectual. If a preacher ever helped you, it's because the Lord helped you first. It's because the Lord blessed you to see and to know and to understand. It's because God got there and worked in your heart, allowing you to see and understand what was being said from the Word of God so that you could embrace it and it meant something to you. And that truth gives all the glory to the Lord. No room for men to boast, either on the giving end or the receiving end. Y'all see that? It's all by His grace. He said, Simon Peter, he's a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was an apostle that was directly sent from the Lord. And by the way, Peter was the name the Lord gave him. His name was Simeon. He said, thou shalt be called Cephas or Peter, which means a stone. It didn't mean you're the stone on which the church is built, but you're going to be a benefit. You're going to be a blessing. It's what the Lord gave him. And Simon Peter, we read about that in John 1 and 42. It says, Simon Peter, he's a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he's writing to them, that is God's children, that have obtained like precious faith. The faith that He's given us is the ability to believe. And without that being given to you, you cannot believe. The Scripture says in John, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. So if you've come to the Lord, it's because the Father's drawn you. Does that make me, that makes, you know, if my coming to the Lord is on my, is what I've done and what I've initiated, then my coming to the Lord may not mean much for me other than, you know, did I really get it right? Did I really do it right? But if my coming to the Lord is because the Father hath drawn me, there's a great promise in that. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. In other words, when you're drawn of God, then you come to the Father. And if you come to the Father because you're drawn of God, notice that the promise is right there also. He says, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know what that means? That means he's not trying to get people to heaven. There's going to be a people that will be with him in glory because of what Jesus did and finished and accomplished. And he's talking to those of God's little children that they might know the way of salvation. That's what we preach. How is it that I could be saved? How is it that I could be in heaven? How is it that God would walk with me in this world? How is it that God would help this sinner and help me, such a sinner like me? How is it that God would do so much for me? Why is it that He would do that? How is it possible? And I'm telling you, the way that it's possible is that He loved you before the foundation of the world. And though you were unclean, He's washed you in His own shed blood. He took your sin and put it upon Jesus and took Jesus' righteousness and gave it to you. He made Him to be sin for you who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He didn't try to do that. He did it. And He finished it. He says that to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, and how did they obtain it? How did they obtain it? Through the righteousness of God. That is the righteous work of Jesus Christ. That is through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Notice that faith didn't bring righteousness, but righteousness brought faith. Get this. Notice that this scripture didn't say that faith came, that righteousness came through faith. It says faith came through righteousness. And the righteousness was not the righteousness of us that got us okay, but the righteousness of God. It was the work of God first in you that caused you to have faith. And that's an important thing to see, because the world is teaching you just get faith and you'll get life. And in reality, the Bible teaches you get life first through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then you're given faith, which enables you to believe so that you're able to know the way of salvation. And that way of salvation gives you peace and rest in the storms and in the trials of life, which you and I so very much need, don't we? I need Him today. And I don't know what all's coming this week, but I got a feeling it's going to be a whirlwind. And I'm not going to be able to make it. I don't know what's coming in the next couple months, but I know that's going to be a whirlwind. But we're going to be okay. How can we say we're going to be okay? How is that possible? Because we have a Lord who loved us before the foundation of the world. We have a Lord who when we were formed and fashioned in our mother's womb, His eyes were upon us and He knew us. He's the one who made us. We have a Lord who's kept us from the time we were conceived and we were in His mind even before that, and it wasn't anything pretty about our life that caused Him to love us. When we were yet His enemies, He loved us and He sent His Son to die for us. And we've been watched over and taken care of in all those young years of our life when we didn't give a hoot about the things of God and we're running full course, thinking we're a boy, I'm just in this world and I'm going to have my good time. The Lord loved us in spite of all that. And somewhere along the line He said, that's enough. I'm going to strike that old boy down. A time came, just like that little sister who was crying out with that demon in her. The Lord delivered her. I don't know when she was born again. I just know every one of God's little children will be born again. I don't really know when I was born again. But I do know this. There came a time when I began to love things that I did not like, and I began to hate some things that I loved so much. And there was a difference. Has that happened to you? You didn't do it. You didn't come to some epiphany in your life and say, okay, I'm just going to change my ways. You know how I know that didn't happen? Because it's not in the man to change his own ways. It's not in him to do that. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? He won't turn that heart to anything towards God unless that heart is circumcised. And that means made new. I don't know when it happened to you, but if you love the Lord today, it's happened. Because without the grace of God, you can't love Him. Without the grace of God, you can't believe Him. Without the grace of God, you can't trust Him. Without the grace of God working in your life, He's the one who's brought every fruit of the Spirit if you have one in your life. If there's anything in your life that makes you look like a little servant of God that one could identify from as a child of God, it's because of what He has put in you. Not something you did in order to get God to react. And that's why we ought never to act like, God, you owe me something. You know what? If I got what I deserve today, it would not be a good thing. Because the wages of sin is death. And that's eternal separation from God. Man doesn't like to hear that. Doesn't like to hear we're not deserving of anything. That's part of the offense of the gospel. But it is the way of salvation. God's little children need to hear it and know it so that we give God the glory and the honor and the praise. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice it is our God and Savior. In other words, this verse tells us that Jesus is God. That's what this verse says. He's our Savior and He's God. Aren't you glad He's God? He had to be God to do what He did. He had to be a man to do what He did. He had to be both man and God to do what He did. If He had not been a man, He could not have died for man. And if He had not been God, He would not have been perfect. As a matter of fact, He is the Son of God. He is one with Him. He's God made manifest in the flesh. He's the one that came to save His people from their sins. He's our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. And then He says in verse 2, and we'll close with reading verse 2. Thought I was going to read the whole chapter. Grace and peace. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. That's good. Grace and peace. You've already got grace. Grace is already there. You can't get more grace in a literal sense. You can't get more grace. Grace, you have grace. Grace has been shown unto you. Then what does it mean, be multiplied unto you? It means that I might see it. It means that I might really visualize it. It means that I'd leave here today recognizing God's grace is with me. God's grace is giving me life. God's grace is going to help me through. God's grace is going to be how we make it, whatever comes. God's grace is going to deliver us out of the storm or in the storm or through the storm. God's grace will take care of you. God will not fail. And grace and mercy and peace comes when you recognize His grace, when you recognize that God's going to take care of me, then I'm no longer troubled. I've got a lot of things troubling me right now that I need to turn over and cast upon the Lord and leave it in His hands, knowing that God's grace has taken me this far and I'm safe this far. It's grace that's going to lead me on. So Lord, give me peace in my heart, in my mind today by simply trusting in Thee. Somebody said, well, how can I trust in Him? Because He's given you faith. And how can I believe that He'll do what He said? Because by faith you can know it. As good as you know to sit down on that bench. When you came in today, you didn't look at that bench. You probably did look at the bench in a sense. You didn't probably think about it. But if the bench looked really, let me say it this way. From a standpoint of a big man, I don't sit in everybody's chair. In other words, I look at the chair pretty good before I sit down. because I want to make sure that thing's going to hold me up. And I mean, sometimes it might look fairly good. I might even shake it a little. Some of you may never have had that problem, but believe me, some might know and understand. I look at especially lawn chairs. Destroyed a few of those. Before I sat down, how do we know we can rest in the Lord? How do we know that when I lean on Him, He's going to hold me up? How do I know when I sit down, He's going to be able to? Because He has all power. He has all might. And faith is the substance. It's the confidence of things hoped for. It's the evidence. I have evidence. My visual evidence, I might look at a chair and think, boy, that's going to hold me up. And sit down, and it doesn't, and it fails, and I make a misjudgment. I'm telling you, by faith, we won't fall. When we trust in the Lord, you won't fall. Whosoever believeth in the name of the Lord, I'm gonna read, I know I said I was going to quit, but I want to read these verses in Romans, and then I'll quit. Romans Chapter 10. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. That means when I trust in the Lord, I will never be let down. That's what God's Word says. When I trust in the Lord, I will never be let down. That doesn't mean He's going to do it the way I want it done. It doesn't mean I'm going to get better every time I ask Him to make me better or make me whole. It doesn't mean the things that I'm asking for are going to happen just like I want them to happen. It doesn't mean my football team's going to win when I want them to win. It doesn't mean my life is just going to run just like I want it to. We're not in control. God's in control. And my ways are not always His ways. As a matter of fact, His ways and thoughts are so high above my ways and thoughts, as high as the heavens are above the earth. I just know this, when I trust in Him, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. That means I won't come short. Does that make sense? And He says it right here, for the Scripture saith, and when the Scripture says it, you can count on it. You can sit down on that chair. You can lean on that. Whosoever believeth on Him. And how do I believe? I've obtained faith, right? By the grace of God. Spent a lot of time on that this morning. I obtained faith by the grace of God, and that's by that faith I can believe. Until I've obtained faith, I can't believe. I won't believe. So when you say whosoever, doesn't mean it's up to you to do it this way or that way. But if you've got faith today, I'm saying to you, you have the ability to believe. God forbid we don't believe. Has He not filled your life with evidence that you ought to believe Him? Has He not shown you enough of the blessings and all the goodness and the mercy of life to think that has He not been with you? Would one of us dare say in any way the Lord hadn't really been with me? I'll tell you, He's loaded my life with benefits. And I see that He's blessed y'all. I can see it all over you. See it all over you. See it in smiles. See it in, you know, just couples sitting together. Got people they love right there with them. You're here at this little church where we love one another. We're not here fussing and feuding. I'll tell you what this place would be without the Lord. Just a big bunch of... The more of us that we have, the more mess we'd have to deal with. You say, well, boy, you're pretty offensive. Well, that's the truth, isn't it? So only by the grace of God. But we can sing with the hymn writer, the Lord has been so good to me. And then he says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. You know what that means? It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Greek. Nothing you did can claim it because you're a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. And there's nothing you get because you're a Jew or nothing you get because you're a Greek. It's not about that. He says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich. Get that. Is rich unto all that call upon Him. Do we believe that? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You gotta love them. I'm telling you, when the Lord says that to us, you and I have a place to go when you're in trouble. Isn't that good to know? And if it all seems like there's no hope, with the Lord, we have all that we need. Right? Without Him, we can't do anything. But with Him, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Love you.